exalted, the King is exalted on high. And I will praise Him. He is exalted forever, exalted, and I will praise His name. He is the Lord, forever His truth shall reign. Heaven and earth rejoice in His holy name. He is exalted, the King is exalted on
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Hello and welcome to St. Stephen's United Church online worship service. We are so thrilled that you are here. Even though we're apart, let's join together in purposefully entering into God's presence and say together the call to worship. Today, the words of God come to us in love, inviting us to not be afraid, but to place our faith in God. Today, the word of God comes to us in faith, inviting us to trust in the one who knows us, to place our hope in the one who saves us. Today, the word of God comes to us in hope, inviting us to be gracious in our love and in our service to others. If you have a candle where you are that you usually light as you enter into worship, let's do that together and take a few moments to prayerfully open our hearts, souls, and minds in preparation for the rest of today's service. Would you pray this responsive prayer with me? O God, in the midst of the cacophony of voices that crush our spirit and deny our calling, voices that say, "Who do you think you are?" We come to hear your voice of affirmation. We come to hear your voice calling us to be and do what you have called us to be and do. Let this time of worship quiet our fears, soothe our bruised souls, and energize us for ministry in and with your beloved world. Let faith abide, let hope abide, let love abide, here in this sanctuary, here in our community, here in our homes, here in our world, but most of all, here in us. Amen.
Please join me in saying together our prayer of confession for today. Lord, we find it difficult to proclaim your message when the crowds rise up against us. We are quick to seek our own safety when we know we should be willing to stand up for our beliefs. And so we ask your forgiveness for past failures. We pray for power and courage to sustain us in future encounters with those who oppose or are angered by your message of forgiveness and love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, having confessed to God, we are now open and ready to receive the forgiveness that God is already offering. God has promised that when we turn to Him, we will find that He's already turned towards us, waiting to welcome us with love and granting us unconditional forgiveness. Sisters and brothers, know that in Jesus, God has given us new life. Thanks be to God. And God's people say, Amen.
Today's scripture reading is from Luke chapter 4, verses 22 to 40. They were all well impressed with him and marveled at the eloquent words that he spoke. And they said, "Isn't he the son of Joseph?" He said to them, "I am sure that you will quote this proverb to me, 'Doctor, heal yourself.' You will also tell me to do here in my hometown the same things you heard were done in Capernaum. I tell you this," Jesus added, "a prophet is never welcomed in his hometown. Listen to me. It is true that there were many widows in Israel during the time of Elisha, when there was no rain for 3.5 years and a severe famine spread throughout the whole land. Yet Elijah was not sent to anyone in Israel, but only to a widow living in Zarephath in the territory of Sidon. And there were many people suffering from a dreaded skin disease who lived in Israel during the time of the prophet Elisha. Yet not one of them was healed, but only Naaman the Syrian." And when the people in the synagogue heard this, they were filled with anger. They rose up, dragged Jesus out of town, took him to the top of the hill on which their town was built. They meant to throw him over the cliff, but he walked through the middle of the crowd and went his way. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So, do you remember the days when we used to watch television shows one episode a week? Before the days when we now watch entire seasons of shows in just one week. And do you remember the feeling from those days when the writers couldn't fit the entire story into one episode, and so they would make it a two-parter? You'd be sitting on the edge of your seat, waiting to see how this was all going to get resolved, and then those dreaded words would flash across the bottom of the screen. "To be continued," usually followed by a dot, dot, dot. I hated seeing those words. Well, I'm not sure if we actually had you sitting on the edge of your seats last week, but it's fair to say that we could have asked Fiona to flash those words across the bottom of the screen at the end of the scripture reading and maybe even at the end of the sermon, because today's passage and today's sermon are really the second of a two-parter that records this visit of Jesus to Nazareth. Last week, we heard that Jesus stood up in his home synagogue in Nazareth and proclaimed to be the Messiah, the one God had sent to inaugurate the kingdom of heaven here on earth. Well, this week, we really do get to part two, as Luke describes how the people there that day reacted to this huge claim that was coming from a young man they had known since he was just a boy. Spoiler alert, they didn't react very well. Now, it's not clear whether people's reaction was negative right from the start, as Jesus read from the scroll of Isaiah, or if it shifted partway through as he started to speak. whenever the tides turned for Jesus on that day. It is clear by the events at the end of this passage that people were not impressed. They were so upset with what he had to say that they didn't just chase him out of the synagogue. They ran him right out of town and tried to drive him off a cliff. You gracious people may have had to sit through some rather iffy sermons from me over the last years, but thank heavens you've never responded quite in that way. Well, Jesus' own comments would suggest that people's irritation started to show fairly soon after he put that scroll down. At first, they seemed amazed, but then they start to wonder, isn't this Joseph's son? Jesus' response to that is, well, at best challenging, at worst, kind of cantankerous sounding. He basically tells them that he's not surprised at their reaction. He says no prophet is accepted in his hometown. And then he goes on to remind them of those two stories of times when God sent the great prophets Elijah and Elisha away from the Israelites to deliver blessings of provision and healing to outsiders, to people the Israelites would have actually considered to be their enemies. Jesus was clearly reminding that congregation in Nazareth that those who hadn't been prepared to hear and follow God's call had ended up seeing God move in the lives of others who were more receptive. Jesus seems to be seeing a parallel here between how his friends and neighbors were responding to him, or rather not responding, and how Israel had stopped responding to God and to his prophets in the times of Elijah and Elisha. So what was the issue for the people who were listening in Nazareth that day? Well, this may be a case of familiarity breeding contempt. Perhaps they just knew Jesus too well. He was claiming to be the Messiah. But all they could see was Joseph's boy who'd lived down the street and played with their kids. To be fair, I can understand actually how they might have felt that way. But however it started for them, Jesus' response about prophets not getting much of a welcome on their home turf suggests that as disappointing as their reaction may have been, he was not surprised by it. By the time we get to the end of this whole episode, it is clear that these friends and neighbors were unwilling or perhaps unable to recognize the authority that people in other places seem to be able to see so readily in Jesus. So Jesus not so gently reminded them through these stories of Elijah and Elisha that in the past, God's blessing has gone to people who were willing to respond and receive it, even if they were people that most would have considered to be outsiders or even enemies. And that's really where the rub came for people that day. That's what drove them to the point of violence. Well, this is yet another time when having a little historical context is helpful if we want to try to figure out what's going on. So remember, the people of Israel knew themselves to have a special relationship with God. God had established covenants with them, assuring them of his presence and his leading with them. Since the days of Abraham, God had promised through covenants to bless Israel and to lead them to the life he had for them. But those covenants also required things of the people. Without question, God would do his part. But for God to be able to bring people to that life he promised fully, the people would need to do their part as well. Simply put, they needed to be faithful to their one God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to trust him and to follow in God's ways. They were called to live as God led, literally embodying for the rest of the world what life with God, kingdom life, was like. The idea was that if they were able to do this, then they would actually be a living example of a blessed people. And when people saw them living this life, they would seek it for themselves. So it was God's hope that through the people of Israel, the nations would be drawn to this life with God, so that the kingdom of heaven and the life that was part of it would spread throughout the whole earth. Well, much of the history told in the Old Testament reveals that Israel struggled to consistently live into this call to faithfully embody this life with God. They would wander from trusting God and then find themselves in trouble and cry out to God to rescue them, which he inevitably did. And life would then go along and be good for a while until their faithfulness would begin to wane again. And the whole cycle would repeat. Well, these two stories Jesus reminded people of that day were vivid examples of the dark and unfaithful times in Israel's history. Jesus was clearly implying that in not believing his claims that day, those folks in his home synagogue were in danger of slipping into unfaithfulness, just as their ancestors had over the centuries. God was sending someone to rescue them, and that someone was Jesus. But if people wouldn't believe this and trust him and follow, then Jesus would have to move on to find others who would. Friends, this is not a case of God punishing those who don't trust him, not at all. Rather, it is the result of the true nature of trust. Trust can't be forced on someone. Think about it. It just doesn't work. Trust is something that must be freely given. If I can't give it, then as much as God may want to lead me into that blessed life, he can't, because I'm not willing to trust and follow him to it. It just doesn't work. Well, I don't think that things have actually changed in this respect. God's determination to bring his kingdom remains, and God continues to move to do that, looking for people who will trust and follow and accept his invitation to embody this life that God has for us in our world today. Last week, we remembered and we affirmed that Jesus' call to his mission has not been derailed by this pandemic. It remains. The ways we will be led to live out that call may change significantly, but the call for us to be faithful and to trust in and follow Jesus, that will never change. We are called to let the light of God's love shine through us so that others can be drawn to this life with God as well. And as I rather boldly proclaimed last week, the Church of Jesus Christ will not fail in this. The question is, will we continue to listen for that familiar voice of Jesus? Will we struggle to hear him and follow like those folks did in Nazareth that day? Or will we have the discernment and the courage and the trust to follow him, even if he seems to be leading us into some new and unexpected places? I really believe that these are critical questions for the church as a whole to face right now. Are we prepared to follow Jesus into this strange wilderness and to trust that he will continue to bring life to us and to others as we do follow? Well, friends, I truly believe that if we can stick together and listen together and follow together, then there will be great news ahead for us in this. In this wonderful and mysterious way that God has designed things to work, there's a richness of life that can be found by sharing the love of God that we have found in Christ with others. to the point that it actually becomes hard to figure out whether you're being a blessing or receiving a blessing. That's another lesson I learned on those Mexico mission trips I was talking to you about last week. Over and over again, people on our teams would come home and say to me, you know, I just wanted to go and to give my all to help a family in need. But somehow I feel like in going and giving, I came home with far more than I gave. Well, that strange dynamic where you can't quite figure out which way the blessings are flowing, that's the kingdom of God, friends, right there. That's the way God has designed life to work when we're following and living in the way of Christ. You can't tell who's the blesser and who's the blessed. There's just life. Full, abundant, vibrant, loving life, flowing and being freely shared between us. And I truly believe that if we can trust and follow, then that wonderful life is ahead for us all. Amen.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back, no turning back, though none go with me, still
Good morning. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for opening our eyes to this creation you've blessed us with. It is magnificent. Foggy, but magnificent. Give us eyes to see and hearts to appreciate the world you've provided. We thank you, Jesus, for this past week of milder weather and less rain. Please continue to remind us of the need for shelter and support for those who are more vulnerable to weather than most of us. It's cold out there still, even though the snow has gone, and life in a tent is harsh, Life without adequate food is harsh. Life without love is harsh. Open our hearts, Lord, to those who have not what they need to thrive. This morning we pray for those who are hungry, alone, and who hurt. We pray for loss of loved ones. We bring to you all those who have died or are displaced as a result of the turmoil of earthquakes, tornadoes, mudslides, tsunamis, fires, and volcanic eruptions. Support those who work to provide care, especially in Haiti and Tonga, Somalia and Afghanistan, and in refugee camps around the world. Those affected are not nameless. You know each one. We pray for those who are ill or grieve in our own family and community. Bring hope, Jesus. And I'd ask you to name them quietly or out loud. Bring them to Jesus' feet. Around the world, Jesus, we ask that you stand with our leaders, give them a right path, a caring response, wisdom. Wisdom that puts people ahead of political gain. Today we pray that you will immediately act to stop the insanity of troop buildups on the Ukrainian border. War does not solve a problem, it creates a greater problem. Jesus, we give thanks for this community, for the outreach to the friends who arrive for community meals, for all who contribute to showing your love. Bless our minister, Diane, and all the staff who support ministry here at St. Stephen's. And bless the board as it prepares the budget update for the new year. Jesus, you are the great teacher. You taught love and showed us grace. Continue to teach us your ways. Now would you join me in saying the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Your offerings of tithes and gifts are very gratefully received. Thank you. Would you pray with me now a prayer offering these gifts up to God's purposes? Lord, sometimes words fail to convey your message of love. With these offerings and the way we live our lives, may we still find opportunities to reach people with your gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I have a few announcements for this week. The first is a reminder of the memorial team that we are looking for help with that I talked to you about last week. There is information in your emailed announcements on this. It's a very important ministry of the church that we provide in a caring way for people when they are in the most need of it. And so I hope that you will take a look at that and consider whether that is something that you might be able to help out with in some small way. If you have any questions about it, please don't hesitate to contact me or call the office. We're happy to give you more information. As well, in your emailed announcements, you will have seen that Foster Freed is going to be offering a Lenten book study on the book Death on a Friday Afternoon. I encourage you to consider taking part in this. It will be run for 7 weeks at the beginning at the beginning of March and right through Lent. It's a wonderful way to deepen your experience of Lent. The study will be offered on Zoom on Tuesday evenings, and the information on how to register for it is in your announcements. And finally, it's coming up for the time for the Coldest Night of the Year walk again, to support the work that the Island Crisis Care Society do with those who are vulnerable and homeless in our community. We hope to put together a team again this year for the Coldest Night of the Year walk, and if you would like to participate in that, check your announcements for information on how you can go about that. Friends, go now, proclaiming the life that you have found in Jesus. Be as one with each other in Christ. Wait for the Lord and be ready to hear God's voice, even in the sounds of sheer silence. And may God be your fortress. May Christ Jesus release you from all that stirs fear. And may the Holy Spirit give you light and truth to sustain you and guide you day and night. Go in love and peace and in the name of Christ. Amen.